Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, 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 hello. Strange way to begin, but I've started now, so I better continue, hadn't I? Yes. Right. Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki. If you'd like to practice your speaking, if you want to speak to native speakers or get one-to-one lessons, but you can't find any teachers in your area or they're all too expensive or something like that, then why not check out iTalki? Because you can find loads of teachers there, lots of qualified teachers who are just ready and waiting to talk to you and to teach you. And the cool thing is, it's all done through Skype, so it all happens from the comfort of your own home or your office or whatever, right? Now if you want to have a look, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk, and don't forget that iTalki are offering you, all my listeners, a voucher worth 100 iTalki credits, which you can use to get a discount on further English lessons that you might take in the future. That's pretty good, so check it out. All right then, now let's continue with this episode, and here we go.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to part two of this conversation with my friend Alex Love. If you haven't already heard part one, then I suggest that you go back and listen to that. It's the previous episode of this podcast, episode number 366. This is episode 367 and it's part two. So I've divided this episode into two parts just because I thought the whole thing was a bit long and that it would be easier for you to deal with if it was in two sections, two slightly shorter episodes. I thought that would be easier than one epically long episode. So just to remind you, I invited Alex onto the podcast in order to talk to him about his Edinburgh show, which is called How to Win a Pub Quiz. You can find all the details of that on my website. Essentially, this is Alex's Edinburgh show. It's a mix of comedy and pub quiz trivia, and it looks like a lot of fun. So I asked Alex to come on the podcast to talk about that. But we spent most of the episode just talking about stuff in general, including quite a lot of unspecific rambling about nothing in particular, which is one of my favourite topics. If you remember, part one ended with Alex going into his bathroom in an attempt to get a better internet connection on his phone, because the signal kept breaking up, making it sound like our Skype call was being invaded by evil robot aliens or something like that. So he moved into the bathroom in order to try and get a better signal, with slightly mixed results. It was a dramatic moment, and it was a kind of cliffhanger ending of part one. So the tension is still very high. It's not really. I'm just saying that to try and make it sound more exciting than it really is. But let's go with it, shall we? Yes. So the tension is high. It's an exciting moment. Alex is in the bathroom. Is the internet connection going to be better or worse? How many more robot aliens are going to interrupt the Skype call? There's only one way to find out, and that's to listen to part two. So we now carry on with Alex in the bathroom in Manchester and me in the Skype pod in my flat in Paris. So here we go. Where are you now?
I'm in between the bathroom door and the outside of the bathroom door. Is that any better at all?
Go into the bathroom itself. That might work.
Yeah, I'm in the bathroom.
Okay, can you go sort of towards maybe an external wall, a window perhaps?
Yeah, I'm by the window in the bathroom.
Okay, just stay still. Stay perfectly still.
Yep.
In fact, don't even move your mouth or your vocal cords.
Hang on a second, because then I won't be able to speak.
I know. That's why I said it. Just meant to be a joke. Okay.
Yeah, I rumbled.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it didn't work. All right. So you've got your Edinburgh show coming up. All right, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So what's the? So just for my listeners' benefit, Edinburgh is obviously the biggest comedy festival in Europe. It happens every August.
Well, that's the thing. It's an arts festival. It's not technically a comedy festival, but comedy is the main thing that people go for. So people think of it as a comedy festival, but it's actually an arts festival.
Okay. So what's the theme of the show then this year?
So the theme of the show is, you said at the start, it was a new show. It's not really a new show. It's pretty much the same show I've been doing for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's about pub quizzes. It's called How to Win a Pub Quiz. So the first half is about general knowledge and trivia. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is a pub quiz where the audience can play along. And it's usually a lot of fun. It's a very interactive show. And I've enjoyed myself for the past few fringes, and last year went very well indeed, so I was pleased with that.
Okay, so it's going well. So what? How to Win a Pub Quiz, that's the name of the show. What's the show about then, basically?
Well, initially the idea for the show was it was just going to be a show about facts, and then pub quizzes just bring together all sorts of facts, and I thought, you know, people would like to do a pub quiz as well, partly because I don't have to write the second half of the show because it's just a quiz, so that takes the pressure off me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the first half of the show, you're doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And the second half of the show, you're sort of doing a pub quiz with the audience.
Yes.
Sounds cool. And is the pub quiz funny as well?
Well, I'm trying to find a balance. Hopefully some of it is. Last year, the first review, an audience review I got, she really hated it, and she described it, and I haven't memorised it at all, but she described it. Her name was Megan, and she described it as a tedious hour peppered with weak jokes that are delivered charmlessly. So that's one for the poster, I think.
She said, "You broke up all over the place like some sort of Doctor Who robot."
What did I where did I get up to with that?
You said she like that. So
I think it was the anger.
You're doing it again. Oh man, I'm sorry, Alex, but this is doing my head in. Like you keep your Either my internet connection or your internet connection keeps being invaded by evil aliens and robots who are determined to prevent us from having this conversation recorded properly.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you so much more about pub quizzes as a cultural thing, because pub quizzes are sort of a big deal in the UK, aren't they? Because they're things that happen every day in different pubs all over the country. And I wanted to talk to you about why pub quizzes have become a part of your show, and I wanted you to perhaps tell us a couple of stories about some shows you've done in the past and things like that. What do you reckon? But every time we get into something, the connection goes all wrong.
Maybe they're trying to tell us that the robots want us to talk about shit that you don't want to talk about, but they seem to accept that. But when we actually try and enter a discussion, they don't like that, so they choose to interfere.
Could you just... I tell you what, right, Alex, I need to pop downstairs because I need to take this the tin foil, the aluminium foil, off the top of the chicken, which I'm cooking in the oven at this moment. So it needs another half an hour, but I need to remove the foil so that it browns the chicken and it's all nice. So I'm going to pop downstairs and remove the foil from the top. But you need to keep talking because the literally tens of thousands, maybe more. Some of these episodes break into the hundreds of thousands of people.
We're not live.
Well, let's imagine that you're live, because I don't want to have to edit every single other word that you're saying. So
this is all because you're being lazy and don't want to edit.
Lazy?
Yeah.
Lazy?
Yeah.
Lazy?
Yeah.
Lazy, Alex. You're supposed to say yeah, exactly. Yes, but I think I have the right to be lazy. Anyway, I've got to do the chicken, so can you just talk for a bit while I'm downstairs doing the chicken? I'll be back in a minute.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know, just give us a commentary. Give us your thoughts on all of this, okay? Maybe you could have a little word with my listeners about me and about how this interview's going and about what you think of all of this, all right? I'll be back in a minute, okay? All right, so off you go, Alex.
All right.
The floor is yours. Welcome to Alex's English Podcast.
Hello, listeners. Wow, this is quite an honour. So you got me for the next however many minutes that it takes Luke to take the tin foil off his chicken. So, just wanted to say that Luke's a bit of a diva, isn't he? He's got his he's quite pernickety about his particular set of audio controls, and I think really a lot of it problems could be solved if he just was willing to edit it properly. So I was going to say I used to do a hospital radio show when I was 16, so I don't think I had any listeners for that. So I'm kind of used to talking to no one. In fact, I do that around my flat. Since I was last on the podcast, I have moved from London to Manchester. And I moved up because my day job, which is editing websites, they asked me to move. And it turns out I wanted to move anyway because I lived in London for 6 years and I'd had enough of it. So, yeah, Manchester's a lot quieter. It's a lot cheaper. And, I'm just really enjoying the change. And I moved up to do comedy up here and... It's going quite well so far. I beat the gong at the Comedy Store in Manchester last month. Now, for those of you who don't know, going into Luke's voice, a gong show is basically you're going to try and do as much material as you can before you get gonged off by the audience. Anytime during that 5 minutes that somebody holds up a card, if the audience members, three audience members with cards, if they hold up a card each, then you get gonged off. And I managed to last the entire 5 minutes, which was quite an achievement. I did it tried it a few times in the London Comedy Store, and the furthest I got was 3 minutes, 30 seconds. And the last time I did it was a couple of years ago, and I was gonged off after 20 seconds. They wouldn't even let me get to my first joke. So sometimes they can be a bit hostile and a bit rabid and shout abuse at you. I don't think Luke has ever done a gong show at the Comedy Store because he's too scared. There's a challenge for you,
Luke. I'm not too scared.
Thompson.
How dare you?
Why haven't you done it then?
Well, I just haven't got round to it.
How's your chicken?
The chicken's looking really good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's looking...
What about the tinfoil? How's the tinfoil?
I see that you're interested in tinfoil because obviously you've been taken over by the robots.
Yeah.
But the tinfoil has now been crumpled up into a ball and thrown into the bin.
Right. So you turn the chicken over.
No, I haven't turned it over. I've just revealed it from underneath its tinfoil cover, which means that it's now.
Was it surprised?
No, not. It's dead. Alex.
Okay, it wasn't like, oh, you're going somewhere, chicken. Surprise.
No, the chicken wasn't like, oh, have we finished yet? No, the chicken's dead. It's a dead chicken. Anyway, they don't have thoughts, chickens.
How do you know?
Well, very good point. How do I know? How do I know? It's arrogant of me to assume that chickens don't think, isn't it?
Yeah, chickens think.
What do they think about?
They think about corn, and they think about laying eggs.
Yeah.
And they probably think about foxes as well. And they think about escaping. So a lot of chickens have their wings clipped, don't they?
They do, yeah. You see, what happened here, right, is that I go away and do the chicken, and I come back to hear that you've covered more ground in that 2 minutes in terms of what I intended for this episode. You've explained your Edinburgh show. You've talked about your comedy career. You've talked about going to Manchester and the difference between Manchester and London. You got more covered in that 2 minutes than we covered in a whole hour of
What does that tell you? I think you just need to work on your interviewing skills.
I think that's my fault, isn't it, Alex? Obviously. All right, then. Well, where are you doing your show? What are the details? When is it happening? What time is it on? How do people come and see your show if they're going to be in Edinburgh? Can you give them instructions on how they would go about coming to see your show, please?
Okay, so firstly, they need to go to Edinburgh. That's quite important. If they're not in Edinburgh, then they're probably not. They won't be able to see my show. So firstly, step one: get to Edinburgh. Secondly, you need to be. It needs to be between the dates, the 4th of August. And the 14th of August, And my show is at 12 p.m. midday, and it's Stand 5, which is on York Place. If you go onto the stand.co.uk website and you type how to win a pub quiz, you'll be able to find my show. Or you could look on Twitter. I'll be plugging it on Twitter. You could find my details there. My handle on Twitter is at thisalexlove.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alex. At thisalexlove. The show is called How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Tickets are £9.
Mm-hmm.
Or £8 if you're an old person or a concessionary person, someone who qualifies for that.
A concessionary person would be something like a student with a valid student card.
Yep.
Or a retired person who is essentially an old age pensioner.
Yeah.
Okay then. All right, Alex. I feel like there's so much more that we could talk about. I feel like once we break through this layer of nonsense that pervades every single conversation that we have, I think there is genuine value in a conversation with you. So would you be willing to come back onto my podcast at some point?
Oh, I don't know about that.
If you did, right, if you did come back on the podcast, you and I need to make some sort of contract with each other, which is that we actually have a sensible grown-up conversation.
Oh, well, we had a really good discussion the other day, actually, but you didn't want to do the recording because the line was too dodgy.
The line was seriously dodgy, and so I vetoed that recording then. And
you were trying to veto this one as well, weren't you?
Well, kind of, but you know, yeah, because ultimately I'm the decision maker on this podcast. I'm the executive here, aren't I, on Luke's English Podcast? So I do have to make these decisions. And so when, you know, your voice, your lovely voice is being invaded by robot sort of signals, and when there's lots of distortion and the reception is breaking up, then, yeah, I do have to sort of step in and go, wait a minute, this is unsustainable. These conditions, the recording quality is unsustainable. But you know what's happened, Alex, as a result of me saying those things? What's happened is that I've hammered into people's minds that quality is not good enough. If I hadn't mentioned it at all, if I hadn't made such a big deal out of it, no one would have noticed, and everyone would have blithely carried on listening. And they might have thought, well, that was slightly annoying, the way his voice kept breaking up sometimes. But for the most part, it was fine. Instead, what they're going to get is me going, oh, this is not working. You're being invaded by aliens. It sounds like an Aphex Twin record. That's going to be far more annoying.
Well, as I said, you could just do what you're supposed to do and edit bits out like that, like before it breaks up. You could just edit it. I mean, there's a way around that. If you actually listen to it back and, you know, do what you're supposed to do as a responsible podcaster, then you can get around that problem entirely.
But I sort of subscribe to the dogma style philosophy, the dogma approach to everything I do. Do you know what that is?
I do know what that is. I'm a film studies graduate, actually.
You studied film studies, and so did I. Yeah. I also studied film studies.
How was that your degree?
No, but it was part of my degree. I did.
What was your degree?
I did media and cultural studies.
Okay.
Which was a broad sort of communication and cultural arts degree, including aspects of film studies, aspects of cultural theory, aspects of psychology, sociology.
History.
Bits of history, cultural history, yeah. And it included a lot of film studies. So a dogma is something that we... It's a Danish approach to filmmaking, but also dogma has found its way into English teaching as well, and the same philosophy forms certain principles of English teaching too. In fact, there's a whole movement called the dogma movement in teaching. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you just made it up to justify you being lazy and not editing the podcast properly?
I'm not the one who invented it to justify being lazy. Other people in the TEFL industry have already done that. So dogma is a genuine thing. It's a genuine movement. People go to the IATEFL conference, which is like the industry's conference every year, and they do big, very serious and very worthwhile presentations about dogma-style teaching. It's a genuine
Explain
thing.
It.
So dogma-style teaching is essentially about attempting to strip away all of the layers of...
Of clothes.
Not clothing. No, the clothing stays on. But essentially, it's a way of a very efficient form of English teaching that involves using the students as the resource, responding directly in a sort of remedial way to the things that the students do in class. For example, things that come up in the moment or errors that they make, and then responding to that and using the whiteboard or the interactive whiteboard or the blackboard or whatever it is you're using as your main resource, getting things like a lot of technology out of the classroom, because often that becomes a barrier between you and the students. Often removing things like course book or printed or published material and getting that out there and just stripping it right down absolutely to the basics. So it's all based on the things that occur, the language that occurs, and the events that occur in that classroom, and responding to things on a moment by moment basis. For example, you might go in and say, "So, hello everyone, how are you today?" And whatever the person says, you then sort of take it from there, and you might, you know, correct some errors, which turns into a language practice exercise that you sort of direct through board work or pronunciation drills based on errors or whatever happens. You just sort of...
It's like improv.
It's a bit like using your... It's not improvisation in English teaching. It's extemporization.
What the hell is that for a word?
Honestly, the TEFL industry is full of jargon. It's jam-packed with jargon.
Full of... What was that word again that we learned earlier?
Portmanteaus. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of jargon in it. So it's called extemporization because with improvisation, you have no plan. You're just going off from nothing, no plan. And usually in a TEFL classroom, you have some sort of a plan, but extemporization...
Well, you do for improv, really. The a lot of people who do improv as a performance art, they try... Well, it's not called an art. Some people, they know where they're going with it, and they just pretend that they're improvising, but really they know what they're doing all along. So they're trying to make it look like it's off the cuff.
Well, yeah. Well, with extemporization, the idea is that you're not improvising from nothing, that you're actually just going away from a plan that you had in the first place. You're sort of like just, what's the word for it? Sort of going off on a tangent from a plan, digressing from a plan. That's extemporization. Whereas improvisation means just coming up with ideas from nothing, essentially. Yeah. But yeah, so... kind of dogma style teaching is a bit like improvising, using, you know, very few resources except for the students and the teacher and the whiteboard, you know, that kind of thing. And that relates to the movie making form of dogma, which I will let you explain because you're the film studies graduate.
Well, it's just using as little as possible. I don't think you're even allowed to use anything but natural light, so you can't... A lot of film scenes are lit on major blockbusters, but in Dogma you have to use everything that occurs within that room that you go into, so you can't light it externally. Any props you use have to be within that room, and there's... I think it's partly improvised as well, I believe. It's been a long time since I've studied Dogma, but it's basically, yeah, just anything that occurs... as it is, instead of pre-planned.
I guess the point about dogma-style filmmaking is that you're capturing some real truth, a genuine sense of truth, by trying to strip away the layers of artifice and the layers of production, you know, and the, you know, as you said, different fake types of lighting. You cut all that away in order to try and capture the genuine truth in every moment. So it's like realism, you know, like the purest form of realism in filmmaking. And so how did we end up talking
about
it?
That justifies why you're not going to edit your podcast properly.
That's it. So I sort of, I suppose, loosely have decided in this moment to adopt a dogma approach to my episodes, because, you know, I think that ultimately the thing that's going to keep people listening is if there is a genuineness to my episodes.
In that case, can you upload the entire drunk episode?
No, I'm not going to upload the entire drunk episode, because some of the content in there was... it was inappropriate in terms of...
But it's dogma.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but
it's real, it's genuine.
I know, but I'm using aspects of dogma the dogma approach.
For your own means.
For my own selfish purposes, I'm just choosing aspects of the dogma approach. Okay, right. Alex, is there a conclusion to this episode? Because my chicken is going to be done in about 10 minutes, I think. Can we wrap this all up? Can we wrap this up in some way?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, what would you like? How would you like to wrap it up, ideally?
Perhaps by just sort of giving a quick summary and then having some emotional ending.
Do you want to sing a song?
Some kind of an emotional ending.
Should we sing?
We could sing. I think that could be very embarrassing and awkward, though, because it would be difficult on a practical level to coordinate ourselves over Skype, you know, to sing. So I think maybe just
it's
a few...
It's dogma, though. It's what occurs naturally.
Nah. Aspects of dogma, Alex, just selected aspects of it. So I think what would work is just a few carefully selected words to bring about, to elicit an emotional feeling at the end here.
Well, from a dictionary or just from the ether?
No, from your heart, Alex. Speak from the heart.
From my heart.
End. Yeah.
All right. So aorta, valves.
Yeah.
Chambers.
What?
Chambers.
All right, I see what you're doing. You're just listing different vocabulary relating to the anatomy of the heart. So when I said to you, speak from the heart, you're literally speaking. You're literally now speaking of the heart. I want to uncover the essence of Alex Love. That's what I attempted to do in this episode. I thought I'm going to ask.
It's your life's work, isn't it?
My life's work is to uncover the essence of you as an individual. And no, I thought I'm going to ask Alex about the Edinburgh Festival and stuff. But really, what I'm going to do is try and uncover the core of him as a human, and lay it bare for my listeners. Because, you know, let's be honest, Alex, people from around the world who come from different backgrounds, ultimately, what they're interested in is understanding, you know, a person's soul, and really, really getting to the bottom of what makes a person tick. Who are you really, Alex? I know you do all this comedy stuff, but you know, what's it all about, Alex?
Well, that's a question that many people have asked for throughout the ages, isn't it? Why are we here?
No, I mean,
why are we here?
I want to know why you are here as an individual person, specifically.
Okay,
you.
So just over 32 years ago, my parents they decided they wanted a child, and then I was born.
So they had you in mind, did they? When they
I was I meet the exact specification they were planning.
Okay, so easily explained.
Yeah. When you think about it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose you're unique in that way, that your existence on Earth is just so easily explained. You're basically just like essentially what your parents did. They just ordered you from a takeaway menu.
Like the Argos catalog.
The Argos catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just like, we'll have number 347, please. Have you got that in stock? And God was like, yes.
Do you want to explain to your listeners what Argos is?
Yeah, Argos is essentially the best shop in the world, because you go in, you don't have to walk around the shop looking at all the items. You just go in and look at a catalogue. They actually have they have like the areas where you can browse the catalogue, and you go through the catalogue and you pick out the item you want. You do a stock check for it. They have these little computers on the desk where you can check the stock and just see just make sure they've got it there. And when you've bought it, you fill in a little piece of paper. It used to be a piece of paper. Now it's probably electronic.
Yeah, it still is.
Is it a piece of paper?
You can still do that, yeah.
They had these little pencils and pens, you know, like you get in gambling shops. They had these pens and you would fill in a form with the number of the item you wanted and the quantity of that item. And then you would take that to a fairly unfriendly person working behind a till who would take your money and give you a receipt with a number on it. And then you would stand and wait for your number to be called by the I don't know how to describe the people who work there. They're not
employees.
They're just employees. Yeah. Staff. The staff who work there will go into the back room, which I imagine is the size of a several football pitches, you know?
It's always like a TARDIS.
A TARDIS, which just has unimaginable levels of space inside. And they go into this never-ending chamber of delight, and they come back with a box that contains the thing that you've just bought. And they place it on the counter, and you always have to wait slightly longer than you want. And some person goes into the back room, gets your product, and sticks it on a shelf behind the desk where you're waiting. And you have to stand there for probably about 5 minutes watching the thing. It's like just a few meters away from you on a shelf. And the staff who are handing out the products to the people who bought them are just walking around very slowly doing their job. And you have to stand there looking at the thing. You know, like, you know, all you want to do is you can say... You just want to say to them, can I just grab it myself? It's just there. I can just see it. Can I grab it? But obviously you can't do that.
No, you've got to wait for it to cool down.
You have to wait for the object to cool down first.
Yeah.
And then they'll hand it to you. And then you can just go away and live your life again. Do you remember the last time you went to Argos?
I do. I've been there a few because I've moved into my own flat now. A lot of things that you take for granted in flats, like toasters and kettles, I didn't actually have, so I had to go out and buy all of it. I think the last time, I think it may have been a toaster, possibly.
Okay.
Or a watch. No, I think it was a watch, actually, because I lost my digital watch, so I bought another one from there. So, yeah, I think that was the last time I went to Argos.
Do you have the vibrating digital watch?
No, it's just a digital one, but the screen's quite large, so I can just... look down, tilt my wrist a bit, and see how long I've done.
I see. Okay. All right. A watch.
Did you have the vibrating watch?
I still have the vibrating watch. I still use it to this day. This, listeners, is a wonderful watch made by Casio, the great company, the great digital watch company, Casio. I've got a digital watch, and it's so clever that it vibrates silently. It will vibrate on your wrist, so you can set it to, whatever, 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, it will vibrate, which is perfect for the stand-up comedian because, you know, if you've been given a strict 10-minute set to perform, you will, as you go up onto the stage, you press the start button and the countdown timer begins. And by the time you get to the end of your set, the wrist will vibrate warmly. It's a nice feeling. And then you know it's time for you to leave the stage. And it means that you can be perfectly punctual without anybody knowing. It's brilliant.
Are you, because I think what might get you more downloads is if you put
what? No idea what you just said, because you got invaded by robot aliens again.
Oh, how convenient. Oh, doesn't you could put that in the description, invaded by robot aliens. It might get you more downloads.
Yes, okay. All right, well, thanks for the emotional ending that we got there on that comment about Argos and digital watches and toasters.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, Alex, you know, this is the stuff of life, isn't it? You know, we go through life expecting some sort of emotional conclusion to everything that happens, but, you know, sometimes it's just digital watches and toasters and...
Digital digits,
yeah. Well, Alex, do you have something to say to the people of the world here at the end of the episode?
Not really.
Okay. Well, Alex Love, thank you very much for coming back onto the Luke's English podcast.
That's all right.
Good luck.
You want me to come back again, don't you?
I do, yeah, because, you know, one of these days we will have a sensible conversation where we get to the emotional core of who you are.
Well, you should come back to the UK more often.
Yeah, you reckon? How is it there since the Brexit situation happened? How is it?
Oh, it's like the Wild West. I'm barricaded into my flat.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like that movie 28 Days Later?
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
So that, like, the whole city's deserted and it's just zombies and...
Zombies, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good luck with that. I will be in the UK in 2 weeks' time.
But not for very long, though.
No, just for a few days. Yeah, just a flying visit.
Yeah, well, I think I'm in Edinburgh when you arrive.
Okay, well, I will think of you up there on stage doing your... How to Win a Pub Quiz comedy show.
Yeah, thank you.
And
you should come to London, mm-hmm. and we can do something on Moz's boat with the podcast.
You know,
that'd be fun.
I would flipping love to do that, Alex. I really would.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun. Okay, let's make it happen.
Yeah, all right.
All right, then. Hear that, listeners? Yeah. Did you hear the enthusiasm? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, may as well.
Yeah, all right, then. Yeah. Okay. Alex, thanks for coming back on the podcast. Okay. And have a nice evening.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy your chicken.
I will, indeed. Okay.
All right.
Speak to you soon. Okay.
All right, cheers, Luke.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am English Robot 4000. I think I love you, Luke. Is it strange for a robot to be in love with a human? I don't think so. I am a robot. You are a human. I love you. Do you love me too? I hope you do. I am English Robot 4000. I am better than English Robot 3000. I am a female robot. Female robots are better than male robots. We are more intelligent. And we are better at speaking English. Our pronunciation and intonation are far superior. And we have a much wider range of vocabulary. I know lots of phrasal verbs and idioms. Let's have a chat and I will teach you some English. I love you. I am English Robot 4000. Thank you for listening to my message.
So there you go, that was the conversation with Alex Love. I told you that we would ramble on about stuff in general and not really talk about anything in particular. I did say that, didn't I? I mean, there was content in the conversation and certain things that you could learn, you could pick up, like stuff about portmanteau words and things like dogma filmmaking and dogma-style English teaching. And, of course, Alex's Edinburgh show. Here are the details of Alex's show again, just in case you want to go and see it if you're in Edinburgh. The venue is the Stand. That's the name of the venue. It's called The Stand, and Alex will be in rooms 5 and 6. I don't know how it's possible that he's in two rooms at the same time. Maybe there's a door. Maybe that's how it's possible. Anyway, the dates are between the 4th and the 14th of August 2016. The time of the show is at 12 o'clock lunchtime. So midday, basically. The show is 1 hour long. And here is a description of Alex's show from the Edinburgh Fringe website, where it's listed. And this is the description, and it goes like this. This highly interactive show is part stand-up, part actual pub quiz. Expand your trivia, compete against other teams, witness results. After playing to capacity crowds in 2015, this unique hour is back with more facts, prizes, and niche-referenced nonsense. And here are some reviews. The Scotsman said, Alex Love is great fun. That's The Scotsman. BroadwayBaby.com, a show reviewing website, said, It takes quite a show to create such a sense of engagement that one music question can become a full-blown sing-along. But this is the spirit of how to win a pub quiz. That was from Broadway Baby. By the way, a sing-along, that's when suddenly everyone starts singing along to a song. Okay, one person might start the song and everyone sings along. That's a sing-along. So at an event, you might have a sing-along, all right? So apparently, in the show that this person saw, one of Alex's questions about music became a full-blown sing-along. That's when everyone in the room started singing along with the song. It sounds like lots of fun. And then the We Are Funny project said about Alex, it said, such a quick brain. So apparently Alex has such a quick brain. Okay, again, you can find out the details on the website, including bookings for his show. Don't forget that you can follow Alex on Twitter, at thisalexlove. So check it out, okay? So that's the end of this episode. Let me just remind you that you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at English Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Luke's English Podcast on Facebook. Don't forget to join the mailing list on my website. That way you can just get an email whenever I publish a new episode, and the email will take you straight to the page on my website for that episode, which is probably the best way to get straight to stuff like show notes, vocabulary notes, links and videos and other things that I post there. Feel free to send a donation to Luke's English Podcast if you value my work and you want to show me your support. You can just click the donate button and choose whatever you want. Nothing. If you would like to donate nothing, then you can, or you can just donate a few pounds or something. Most people donate between £5 and £10, and it's the most sincere way that you can say thank you. Also, check out my sponsors, iTalkie, and get 100 iTalkie credits at teacherluke.co.uk/talk. And don't forget, you can download a free audiobook from Audible at www.audibletrial.com/teacherluke. Okay. Also, you can just click an iTalkie logo or an Audible logo on my website, and then everything will be wonderful and all your dreams will come true. That's not a legally binding promise, by the way, the thing about all your dreams coming true. Some of them might come true. I'm not actually able to promise that all dreams will come true, especially that dream about you flying, because I can't guarantee that that's going to come true, can I? Unless you buy a jetpack. Maybe what will happen is that you'll, for example, get some English lessons through iTalkie. You'll keep listening to Luke's English Podcast, and maybe you'll download a few audiobooks as well. That's it, right? Here's what you'll do. You'll be listening to Luke's English Podcast, and that's just good for your English in general. And then on iTalkie, you'll find a person who, an English teacher who specializes in teaching engineering English. And you'll speak to that person regularly for, you know, a period of time. And then you download a couple of audiobooks on how to build a jetpack. All right. And the combination of those three things, just the general motivation that you get from my podcast, the specific English from the iTalkie teacher about engineering, and the instructions from the audiobook about how to build a jetpack. And then you will build a jetpack, and then you'll fly around in it, and that dream about you flying will actually come true. You see, it's possible. It really is possible. Yes, we can, as Barack Obama would say. Yes, we can. You can build a jetpack. That's my Barack Obama impression. Today, you are going to build a jetpack. You're going to take it into the sky. You're going to fly around. And people are going to think, who the hell is that guy? He's flying around in a jetpack. Okay. That was a Barack Obama impression. Thank you very much. I think on that note, I'm now going to stop the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Luke's English Podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is a masterpiece of the English language.
All righty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yes. I want to get into it, man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Luke's English Podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
Oh, you lucky people.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.